for the world and for the Jewish people, the year behind us has not been easy. Brutal extremism is on the rise, and asymmetric warfare, and Iran is moving steadily towards acquiring nuclear weapons. Parts of Europe are seeing a resurgence of anti-Semitism, and Hamas and Israel fought a devastating war this summer. And the United States is now entering a new war with ISIS. When I was a kid, the world seemed much simpler. Oh my gosh, I'm one of them now. For example, Israel was a rallying point for the Jewish people. It didn't matter how much we argued about how to be Jewish. When it came to Israel, Jews of all stripes came together. Now, Israel has become a lightning rod for discord and strife. Several years ago, the Jewish Council for Public Relations, a national umbrella organization that's part of national federations, actually started a civility campaign. Because when it comes to Israel, civility has given way to shouting matches. More recently, the intensity of our arguments and debates about Israel has made the Jewish newspapers. Among the disturbing trends described in these articles is a growing fear among rabbis that leads us to either avoid the topic altogether or to suppress our personal views for the sake of shalom bayit, of peace in the house. Some rabbis have been asked to resign for their views, or have seen prominent leaders of their congregations resign over their views. And while it has been assumed that the liberal rabbis are the ones that feel under threat and duress, it turns out that rabbis on both sides of the issue feel that pressure. Now, as you know, I'm a right-leaning rabbi when it comes to Israel, although I wasn't always. And I have come under fire every single time I have spoken about Israel from this pulpit. The criticism is often intense. Usually, it is a statement to the effect that I have entirely ruined the high holidays for the aggrieved person. Because I have inflicted a politicized and biased opinion upon you, my captive audience, on this, the holiest day of the year, instead of addressing something more spiritually relevant. I can appreciate the passion of the critique, even as I am pained that I have caused such pain. And as a result, over the past year, I have actually avoided talking about Israel because it has become so polarizing for us. Yet this cannot continue. So to those of you whom I have offended with my right-leaning views, I would like to take this time to offer my regrets for your previous discomfort. And to make up for it, I have decided that tonight I will pick a subject that hopefully you will find relevant. Israel. Yes, tonight I speak about Israel, but not really about my own views. Rather, I would like to speak about how we can have the conversation, how we can be civil and listen to each other and try to find a way to respect each other's opinions. I would also like to speak about ways that we can be connected with Israel and support her, even though we may disagree about what is in Israel's best interest. So let's start with a fascinating article written by Rabbi Eric Yaffe, the past president of the Reform Movement. He reports that roughly one-third of rabbis now repress their true views about Israel out of fear of clashing with their congregations or with their lay leadership. This is astonishing, considering that the data from the recent National Pew study of Jewish attitudes, which shows that 67% of Jews say that they are very or somewhat attached to Israel, and 87% say that caring about Israel is important or essential to their being Jewish. So why is Israel so controversial for us? because we don't agree on what it means to support Israel or how to be connected with Israel. And when it comes to Israel, our emotions run deep and we are almost evenly split in terms of national opinion. As a result, some of us get so ungepatschki, so emotional, that we cannot even have a conversation because what we hear from the other side offends our deeply held sensibilities. Do we support Israel by showing solidarity with whatever Israel does, or do we support Israel by challenging what we judge to be her mistakes? There are cogent arguments on both sides of the divide, and we feel passionately about them. So with a twisted irony, while the majority of us have a meaningful connection with Israel, it has become divisive precisely because of the depth of those connections and the stark differences of our opinions. Oy. Rabbi Yaffe makes some courageous suggestions about how we can have civil conversations. So first, let's acknowledge that we care deeply about Israel, even if we disagree among ourselves about the details. And let's make an effort to make TBZ a safe place to express our love for Israel and our respect for each other and our willingness to really listen to each other. And let's not just talk about politics, but culture and science and day-to-day life in Israel and the reform movement in Israel. This way, we can develop our own visions of what the Jewish state can and should be. Part of this means that we should feel free to speak up when we feel critical because we care about Israel's welfare. While final authority rests with the citizens of Israel to make decisions about how the state will act, Zionism was created for and by the Jewish people as a whole. And since when have we all agreed about anything? However, this does not mean that anything goes. Rabbi Yaffe reminds us that synagogues are Jewish institutions, not simply open forums. That we support and promote Jewish values, and that includes strengthening the Jewish people and the Jewish state. So while we need to make room for each other's views, he writes, quote, just as we would not invite Holocaust deniers or anti-Semites to speak or use our facilities, some people and organizations should not be invited to speak on Israel, and some things should not be said in synagogues. He suggests that each synagogue needs to create its own red lines, and he has some advice. He recommends that we do not invite any speakers who identify with or support the international BDS movement. For those who don't know, BDS stands for Boycotts, Divestments, and Sanctions Against Israel. And the BDS movement does not simply oppose Israeli policies. It actually opposes the very existence of the state. Similarly, we should not welcome those who excuse or rationalize acts of terrorism against us. And by the way, that goes both ways. We also should not welcome those who demonize Islam or all Muslims. Finally, Rabbi Yaffe suggests that we do not invite those who refuse to accept Israel as a Jewish state. People who take this position advocate for a Palestinian right of return, which would result in a Palestinian majority that would simply outvote the existence of the state of Israel. I think Rabbi Yaffe's advice is very well considered, and we would be wise to take it to heart. With that in mind, I would like to try and take a look at our differences and see where they take us. Let's acknowledge an uncomfortable truth. Hamatzav, the situation, is beyond complicated, and as a result, there are no simple answers. Having said that, I must also acknowledge that with the time constraints we have this evening, I must oversimplify the various Jewish views on Israel, including my own, for which I apologize. The more traditional American Jewish position can be summed up as followed. We need the state of Israel. Israel is in constant danger. Therefore, Israel needs our unconditional solidarity, especially when it comes to defending itself against our enemies. The more right-leaning people, advocates of this approach, see the majority of Palestinians as the implacable enemy who must be utterly defeated before there can be peace. On the other side of the debate are those who say that most Palestinians are not the enemy, but when we respond with overwhelming force to the attacks of those Palestinians who are our enemy, we perpetuate the cycle of violence, and more of the general Palestinian society becomes radicalized. The more left-leaning advocates of this position also say that even in times of calm, Israel's treatment of the general Palestinian population is dehumanizing and makes it impossible for them to find any hope that anything will change, which is not only wrong, but it leads them to become extremists. To which the right replies, "But they're attacking us, and we have to defend our citizens." To which the left replies, "But they wouldn't if we treated them more like human beings." And at this point, this is where the conversation usually becomes heated and personal attacks take place, like, "You are so naive," or, "You have no respect for human life." We are not going to resolve the question tonight, but I would suggest that there is some truth in both positions. It is absolutely true that when a young Palestinian boy lives in Gaza, is isolated from the world, and sees the rubble of what used to be his home and is told, "Israel did this to you," that he may dedicate himself to growing up and one day seeking revenge. It is also absolutely true that supplies sent to Gaza for humanitarian aid and construction have been diverted to use for terrorism and war against Israel over and over and over. When Israel opens its borders, the violence against us intensifies. When we seal them up, temporary quiet is established, but the seeds are planted for the next and more violent round as Palestinian resentment builds. This past summer, the tension between Israelis and Palestinians spun out of control and turned into a 50-day war. It started with the kidnapping and murder of three Israeli teens by Hamas operatives in the West Bank. And then some vigilante Israelis kidnapped, tortured, and killed a Palestinian youth. The rockets started firing from Gaza, and the Israelis retaliated, and then they discovered the attack tunnels, and in them, the detailed plans for a massive Rosh Hashanah attack against Israel with the aim of kidnapping 1,000-plus Israelis and killing thousands more. The last thing I wanted to see in Israel is another war. And most Israelis feel the same way. And yet, along with most Israelis, I fully supported the war and the way in which Israel conducted it. The temptation must have been enormous for many Israelis to use the force at their disposal to reoccupy Gaza and root out Hamas. But they didn't. Instead, they focused on taking out the tunnels and the rockets and securing the border and did everything they could to minimize civilian casualties on both sides. I support that still. And yet I also know that every single one of those casualties on both sides will fuel continued conflict in the future. Yet, what else could Israel have done? Not take out the tunnels? Let Hamas continue to fire rockets unanswered? A big part of our difficulty discussing Israel here is that we don't handle complexity well. And news reports are generally oversimplified and filtered, which can be misleading or sometimes inaccurate. As the rabbis teach about rumors and gossip, Even if we only believe half of what we hear, we still believe half of what we hear, and that includes what we hear about Israel. Earlier, a week ago today, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas stood in front of the United Nations and accused Israel of committing genocide, against the Palestinian people this summer. And just a few days ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu stood in front of the United Nations and rebutted, saying, quote, "In what moral universe does genocide include warning the enemy civilian population to get out of harm's way, or ensuring that they receive tons of humanitarian aid each day, even as thousands of rockets are being fired at us, or setting up a field hospital to aid their wounded?" That's what the Prime Minister said. Yet what do you think the world will hear? Genocide or compassion for Palestinian civilians? For that reason, I have a red line that Rabbi Yaffe does not have. He suggests that we publicize our debates on our websites, including our criticisms. I prefer that we do not, out of concern for how it could be used as propaganda against Israel. I believe that we need to express our criticism constructively, and for me that means not giving material to those who would take it out of context and use it against our people. Yet part of being supportive is also thinking critically. So here are two ways that we can do both. The first may surprise you because it is very easy to do. Cast your vote. Every 4 years, the World Zionist Organization convenes as the International Parliament of the Jewish People, and guess what? It's coming up. And its decisions have far-reaching influence on the policies and agenda of the State of Israel. This is really important because as Israel becomes more and more the center of the Jewish world, it becomes that much more important for us. For example, the controlling religious Jewish voices in Israel today are all Orthodox. There should be a place for Orthodoxy in Israel, but also for conservative and Reform Jews. In fact, our beloved past president, Donald Day, who also served as the president of the UAHC and the president of the World Union, understood this and worked tirelessly to establish a fledgling Reform community in Israel. Now, you may not know, but Rabbi Rick Jacobs, the current president of the Reform Movement, was called to Israel just before Rosh Hashanah to meet with Israeli leaders like Prime Minister Netanyahu and also Natan Sharansky, along with other national leaders from the Reform and conservative movements both in Israel and in the States. Why? Because we are close, and this is amazing, we are close to concluding a historic compromise that will create an egalitarian section at the Western Wall so that people like us can go there and pray in our own authentic ways. This is remarkable, and it has happened in no small part because of our growing influence at the WZO. Reform Jews make up the largest percentage of Jews in the world, but we are underrepresented at the WZO because too many of us don't vote. So let's get out the vote this year. We have voting pledge cards waiting for you just outside the sanctuary. By sending in your pledge to participate in the elections, you will get a reminder and a ballot when it's time to vote in January. Let's bring our concerns and our love to Israel in the most constructive and effective of forums, the WZO. And what else? Simply put, come to Israel with me this summer so that we can pray together. Men and women, please God, at the wall. What makes this trip even more exciting is that we will not only be traveling as TBZ, but as part of our larger Western New York Jewish community. I will jointly lead this trip with Rabbi Perry Netter and Rabbi Alex Lazarus Klein, as all three of our congregations travel together. I hope to be able to share more details with you soon, On our journey, we will experience for ourselves the magic, the beauty, and the challenges of life in Israel. And we will offer our support, whether we lean to the right or to the left, in the most meaningful of ways, with our presence. With that in mind, I pray that we may all be inscribed and sealed for a good, a healthy, and a peaceful year here in Israel and throughout the world.